Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it?
What's going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Back in the saddle again.
You weren't ready for it.
I had to think about what he says so I could say it right.
All right. Rolling, 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 rolling.
Keep on.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
Yeah. Inside studio joke.
Yep.
That's just that.
Old school.
It's the era of which we were in school. That's what it comes down to.
Because we be old.
Ish.
Well, feel old anyways.
Some of us look old.
Well, me and Justin still have hair, so.
That's true.
That's not us.
Listen, you
Although
got.
Although I am getting gray in my
you
beard.
You got enough hair for a whole family of Sasquatch.
That's all right.
All right.
I mean, I have a whole family of Sasquatch. So, I mean, psh.
Sasquatch Junior.
Sasquatch
Junior Junior.
Yeah.
Well,
it is what it is, son.
I think it's part-timer's turn to pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the time we get to spend together and talk about you. Please be with all the people in East Tennessee and West North Carolina, and please just give them comfort. And please give us a discernment, as always, as what topic we're going to talk about tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You don't need to thank him for the rain this time.
Yeah, we got plenty of rain, son.
Yeah, we're past that.
My well's over here spitting out. I mean, like, water hose spitting out.
He's full.
It's full, son. Water table is up.
I'd say. Well, today.
What was it, Sean? Sean at church said, I prayed for rain, but not this much.
That's about right. It's about right. Well, this week we wanted to kind of do something that's a little more a little more open, a little more freewheeling, because I know as we go through this, we're gonna pull more things out that we remember from different aspects of this. And I think it's an important topic because we've kind of been brainwashed over time. We get acclimated to things. We kind of have something where we, you know, over a period of time, things just start to seem normal. And I think it's a desensitization that we kind of go through. And we want to talk a little bit about.
Well, since we have these new supernatural glasses, it's good to look back, especially like at older movies where there was some hidden symbolism or biblical references, whether it be demons, fallen angels, Satan, conspiratorial, just, you know, using our new glasses and taking a second look at Hollywood and movies and themes and stuff like that. I think this will be a fun discussion.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I mean, this stuff has been around us for a long time. We go back and me and Justin both have a copy of some of these older comic books, but the one that kind of opened me up to this and understanding that this stuff has kind of been, you know, spoon-fed to us for years was from 1966 is Donald Duck and the Search for Og's Iron Bed. And we're talking about Og from the Old Testament, King Og, who was the last of the Rephaim. And this is put into a Donald Duck cartoon. I find that fascinating. Nephilim. In 1966, we have a Nephilim reference in a Donald Duck comic book. I mean, it blows you away. If you go back even earlier, 1963, and I'm going to have to look this up because I have part of this, but the His name was Uatu, and it was his name. He was the Watcher, and it's this. And oh, I'm gonna pull this up and read this for you because I thought this was so fascinating. You go ahead for a minute, and I'm gonna pull this up.
Well, one that really stood out to me, as far as like movies with this new perspective, was a popular one in the 90s. It was Nicolas Cage, and I can't remember the
City of Angels.
Name. Yeah.
The chick's name. Sorry.
But yeah, that was the movie. Steve just stole my thunder.
I thought you were going to say you couldn't remember the movie name, not the girl's name.
But if you guys remember that, Nicolas Cage was an angel. He was in heaven, and he was looking down at humanity, and he was just fascinated with humanity, and it made him out to be this really good guy, or good angel, rather. And he was just fascinated with humanity, and he watched them. He was a watcher, and he just stood and watched how they interacted with each other and all this stuff. And he actually seen families where husbands and wives got together and got married and fell in love and had children. And he would talk with the other angels and be like, man, how come they get to do that and we don't? And I want that, you know, I'd give anything for that, you know, and all this stuff. And he ends up finding Meg Ryan and falls in love with her. And he's like a stalker. He watches her in her home unsuspecting and just follows her every day. And long story short, he keeps not his first estate and gives up being an angel to be with this woman. And spoiler alert, you know, we're talking 30 years, 40 years later. So if you ain't seen it by now, sorry. But he is a human for one day, and Meg Ryan dies in a automobile crash. She's on a bicycle and gets run over and killed. So he trades his immortality for one day of in love with a woman. And with our new perspectives, we know that that is Genesis 6. That's the fallen angels that came down and bred with the daughters of men. But Hollywood painted him in a favorable light. Oh, he was a good guy. Oh,
tries to make light of it.
Yeah, poor, mean, nasty God didn't give the angels nobody to love. He just wanted somebody to love.
That same vein is exactly what I was talking about with that Uatu, the Watchers, right? We're talking about, this is the same thing from the Book of Enoch, that Genesis 6, that fallen angels that came down that wanted to be with women. But from the Marvel database, this is that first appearance of this Watcher in that comic was in 1963, it says, from their database, it says the Watchers were allegedly the first advanced species of the universe, committed to observing and compelling knowledge on all aspects of the universe without any interference. The original name for the race was the Luminos. I think there's a little alliteration there that's a little interesting, but it has since been forgotten. They adopted the name the Watchers after the tasks they perform. So this one, Uatu, is the one who was put over the earth. He's the watcher of the earth. And yet, and they show this and the powers that he has. I mean, they're angelic powers if you look at the comic books. I actually had to purchase one of these. I just wanted to have it just to be able to look at it, see it. And you see the, you know, we credit a lot of these comic book writers for coming up with these amazing original ideas. This is a biblical narrative. Even the description of who they are is a biblical narrative. And it's right there in front of us, starting in 1963 there. If you go to 1975, it's the first appearance of Moon Knight. And they've even had a show on Disney about Moon Knight. I think you've heard of Moon Knight. I would imagine both you guys probably have. No, Ben, you haven't?
Not a clue.
So Moon Knight... And the guy, it's actually the guy, Oscar Isaac. He's been in all those, he was in the newer Star Wars movie. He's been in a bunch of different things now. But Moon Knight, he'll, and throughout the show and in the comics, like either call upon or like have discussions with all the different Egyptian gods. You know, we hear Osiris and Horus and all this. Like this is all part of the comic, bringing those Egyptian gods into the comic book realm.
It's like a divine council.
It's that abomination. Yeah, exactly. It's that, to a degree, but he's just imbued with these powers, right? I haven't watched the show, but I have a good friend that said that that you need to, if you sit there and watch it, it's just reference after reference. But I do have one of the comic books because I wanted to see, you know, where this came from, even before we started getting the stuff on TV. And this stuff, like I said, first appearance of this and him calling upon these Egyptian gods is 1975. You brought up City of Angels, which is probably the most blatant one that we've seen. It is Genesis 6 on the screen, but they paint that favorable light. They give them the, put him as the good guy, which most cultures, you know, that switching over, they do that where they make those, you know, whether it's the Apkallu or whatever, that they make them the ones that are bringing you the knowledge from the gods that were mean and holding it back from you. You know what I mean? Those types of things. But think about Hellboy. That's another one.
Yep.
Painting a demon in a favorable light. Oh, this demon,
the good guy,
chose to fight for us. And you've seen that movie, right?
Yep, I've seen Hellboy.
And I think they're doing another one, if I recall. I think Ron Perlman was the actor in that, I do believe. And
they've done two or three already.
Have they done? Is that that many?
I know of two, anyways.
Well, you're seeing this in all these movies and all these themes. The one that I think is, I mean, the elephant in the room when we talk about this, though.
Dumbo? Oh.
No, but they usually have their hands in most of this stuff. But the Marvel movies and some of the DC movies, too. And I, you know.
Well, Marvel, you got Thor that's in love with Jane that's on Earth.
Yeah.
Well, and Thor was already a half god, like half human. Like a demigod, His mother was human.
Nephilim.
So he was already a Nephilim. Wonder Woman, Diana. She was a Nephilim, right? And actually, if you go back,
and all these Nephilim are the saviors of the world, the protectors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Thor, if you go into Norse culture, Thor's a god that they recognize.
Right.
If you go into Roman culture, Wonder Woman is Diana. That's the goddess Diana. If you go into Greek culture, she's Artemis. And Artemis was a central themed god in biblical times too, where you see in Corinth, she was one of the patron gods. And in Ephesus, that was actually one of the ancient wonders of the world, was the temple of Artemis.
I mean, that was just another name for Isis.
It just follows in. It's all that same thing. So we see that correlation there, but this stuff is not something that they just created. This stuff is being pushed on us. We're being conditioned over a period of time. I think you the minute you sit there and think that all this stuff is just ideas, just thoughts that are come up, you're lying to yourself a little bit, because this stuff is all being pulled from that supernatural biblical narrative, and it's pushed on us on TV all the time. I mean, Thor is, you know, Thor, Loki, all these things that we see, you can go through and look at the DC universe. Think about Aquaman. Same thing. Think about,
is an alien.
Yep.
And they have all these things, and you could say, you know, Hulk, you know, and the gamma radiation, whatever, but there's so many different things that are pushed on us this way. I don't know.
It is a genetic modification.
You know, you go down that transhumanism road to some degree, even though that was an error supposedly in the show, but it made him superhuman. You know, same thing with Spider-Man. That's a genetic modification that made him better. We see this. It makes him better, the genetic modification. If you look at a lot of things that we're talking about, the transhumanism movement is to make you better, to make you live longer, to somehow change your genes, change your DNA, that you can live longer.
And Captain America was a prime example. It's in your face, because the people in power, the occults, the the Satan, whatever label you want to put on it, but the people doing wicked things, it's like a spiritual laws of engagement. You know, they have laws that they have, it's almost like they have to tell you what they're doing, because it's either that or it's like an esoteric, the ones in the know will throw it right in your face as like winks to their buddies that are in the know, like, hey, we know this is true, but the rest of these idiots don't know. Because when you look back, DARPA, super soldiers, you talk about all the time, what's that one guy, the Cuban leader that was trying to breed gorillas with
the that was Russian. It was Stalin.
Yeah. So this is something, I mean, that they've been trying to do, quote-unquote trying to do, and here's Captain America. Oh, it's just a movie. This ain't real. But look. We genetically made the perfect man, what Hitler was trying to do this whole time.
Go back further. I mean, this, what are they trying to replicate? They're trying to replicate the Genesis 6. I mean, you talked about it before, the corrupt bloodlines. Gary Wayne went on that episode we did with him was a huge tangent on those royal bloodlines that truly all believe that they are the descendants of the Nephilim. And this is them putting that agenda out blatantly under our noses. I mean, it's right in front of us. It's right there for everybody to see. It's a really, and it's one of those things. I hate when you sit there and you finally look at the bigger picture and you sit there and you're going, holy cow, it's been right in front of you the whole time. I mean, it's on your face. It's sitting in front of your nose, and it's crazy.
Yeah. And, Godzilla, I really enjoyed those movies, but when you think about the overall arching theme, okay, what is it? Here is this dragon-like creature that's in the abyss, the bottom of the ocean.
Well, I never thought about that.
All mythology tells you that this is a chaos dragon. It's not a good thing. But in this movie, he's the protector of Earth. He's the
upper Earth.
He's
or whatever.
The king of the monsters, and he restores balance. You know, without him, you know, we would be doomed. And in that movie, what happens? This evil guy sends out this certain frequency and releases what? The Titans. And, of course, you go back to Greek mythology, the Titans were the original gods, and their children, their offspring, overthrew them and threw them in Tartarus in everlasting chains. Well, now, in this film, all these Titans are released at once, and they come from under the ground. And, boom, it's just chaos. It's revelation. Well, it's open of the bottomless pit is what that's portraying when I seen that. So here it was, you have another biblical theme, but it's just kind of shrouded. And if you just don't have eyes to see it, you don't see it. But the deception is the dragon, that ancient twisting serpent in the bottom of the abyss, is your savior.
I literally have never thought about that.
Me neither.
And the new one is even deeper. The new one, what is it, the something empire or whatever?
No, I don't know.
When you get to that, Kong is in there with it, and they're trying to get Kong to work with Godzilla to fight this new threat.
Okay, yeah, King Kong, they find him on, like, Middle Earth, which is, like, down in the core of the Earth or
something.
Well, here's
the thing I want to get to is, like, when they fought, and it's like he was the king of Middle Earth and Godzilla was the king of Upper Earth, so they separated them that way they wouldn't fight and cause chaos. Well, while in Middle Earth, there's this new threat, all these new monsters, these gorillas start coming out, and Kong's getting older, his teeth are starting to chip, and he's just getting older. He ain't as young as he used to be. And long story short, they find that there was this race of ancient people that were the protectors of Kong race. And then they find this portal. And they were supposed to be the protectors of this portal and to keep whatever was in there. And then in these depictions, they have Kong, and then they have this other beast-looking monkey thing with another dragon in below inner Earth, and it shows lava and flames. It looks like hell. And the way the story goes is that this other gorilla tried to overthrow society and destroy all the human race and enslave the human race. So the humans and the Kongs work together and threw these guys into basically hell, and that's their prison. And they escape and try to enslave the human race again. But this evil Satan figure gorilla that's in Middle Earth hell comes out riding this white looking dragon that blows out ice and fire. And this beast's name is Leviathan. So here is,
wow,
basically hell with lava and flames, inner Earth magma, and these entities that are enslaved there with this Leviathan dragon that come out
that's
to try
white,
to conquer the
riding,
Earth.
Riding a white, as in Jesus comes back on a white horse.
And that monkey's red. He's like fire red.
Huh.
All this stuff interweaving into the narrative of these stories.
That's just insane. There's one of two things. Either these people are very well educated on this subject and they have an agenda to push across, or they're just really lazy and ran out of storylines. So they're just pulling them from, like I said, scripturally. And that's crazy. They even call it Leviathan. And that makes it kind of look at Revelation and you kind of see, okay, you have the first beast and then you have the second beast, right? And the first or the second beast tells everybody to, you know, worship the first and go back to that. And oh man, the correlation's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's trippy. Holy cow.
Yeah, go back and rewatch those with that set of glasses on.
See, it's hard, man, because I want to enjoy some things, man. Now I'm going to get to the point where I can't enjoy anything anymore
just treat it like a treasure hunt. I'm like, hey, you thought you pulled it over me. I know what this is.
But, man, it's crazy to think that the majority of people, including me, had no clue about that movie. I mean, some of the other ones, like I said, Hellboy is very in your face. Like, this is a demon. And he's here to help you. You know, you see that. But he's saying that some are bad, some are, you know, there's just like a, and then, well, you know, like City of Angels was a very distinct, it was a very, you can't miss that one because they say exactly what it is. It wasn't like they were trying to hide anything.
But during that time, 90% of the church either never even looked at Genesis 6, or if they did, it was spiritual wickedness from, you know, Seth and Cain mixing. It wasn't angels.
What about, this might be stretching it because I can't quite remember, but you got Indiana Jones looking for the lost ark. But then you got like the Nazi bad guy who's got like that demon looking burn up face. Isn't it like red or something? Oh. Trying to find the lost ark also.
Remember the one guy gets burned in the beginning.
Yeah, he got burned in his face. Yeah. The woman burned his face.
With the little metal, right. I think he burned his hand, too.
Which I might be thinking, getting them kind of in my mind conflicted with, like the Captain America.
Red Skull was in Captain America.
Yeah.
I think that I'm getting them, too. But anyhow, you got, say, the Nazis trying to find it, too, which is almost as if in the, you know, the, was it the where he desecrates the temple and sits on the where God would sit kind of thing? You know, Nazis, the bad guys, also trying to get the ark to claim it for themselves kind of thing.
Right. And a lot of conspiracy theorists say that was actually going on. That's where
it probably was.
That Hitler was a huge occultist,
yeah,
going after these supernatural biblical artifacts.
Well, they said he was trying to find the the cup and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Spear of Destiny, which they done another movie recently on that one. I can't remember what they call it, The Dial of Destiny. That's actually a good movie. I enjoyed it. But it goes back to Nazi Germany. They're trying to find this Spear of Destiny, which was the spear that supposedly pierced Christ. And inside of it was this piece that was it went into a time machine, basically, and they could go back in time with it.
I haven't seen that one yet. Man. I don't know, man. I guess I haven't watched a lot of the newer movies, and I think about this because it does. It's disturbing to me that you can sit there and if you can't be entertained anymore. I mean, you say you're entertained, but it's a narrative that's being pushed.
It's not fun to watch movies anymore.
Not the same way it used to be.
No.
And one that's really in your face that a lot of people in our circles like to use, and I don't think they realize it, but The Matrix. I love The Matrix.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's some hidden esoteric stuff in there. But there's a lot of Christians, like especially like, you know, what they call the Red Pill Christian movement, you know, and there's lots of podcasts and shows that, you know, call themselves, you know, the Red Pill or Conspiracy Pill and have all these Matrix references. But that's actually a Gnostic storyline. Because if you go into the Gnostic Gospels, and that's the ones they found at, you know, Nag Hammadi, these are the same people that said that, you know, Jesus was fornicating with Mary Magdalene and had kids, and that's what the Holy Grail is, the bloodline of Christ, and that they were drinking these psychedelic drinks and taking these spirit journeys, and they say that you ascend to a Christ consciousness through gnosis, through wisdom and knowledge, that we all have a divine spark in us and we don't need Jesus. Through knowledge and meditation and reflection, you can ascend and do things like Jesus. Jesus was the blueprint that he realized the God in himself and manifested it and done all these miracles. And so you can do the same. And that Christ really didn't die on the cross. That was just a made up fairy tale. Well, these Gnostics, their worldview is a blueprint copy of the Matrix, because that's what they've done, according to the Gnostics. You know, Christians will say the greatest trick the devil ever pulled, you know, was convincing everybody he wasn't real. Well, Gnostics will take it a step further and they say, no, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing you that he was God and to worship him. So they say that Yahweh is Satan.
And then Satan's Christ or something.
Yeah, because Satan flipping is the all good around. Guy. He's the one that, yeah. You know, wanted to give you knowledge. So what they say is that the real God broke themselves up into these 10 archons. And Earth is basically a prison planet for all the spirits. And that the creator God is like the warden of this prison. He don't want to let the spirits go. But the real supreme being is Sophia. And it means wisdom in Greek. And Sophia, her spirit enters the prison and tries to rescue the prisoner spirits that the demiurge, Yahweh, doesn't want to let go. And those are the ones that get the Christ, the Sophia consciousness, and they ascend and become enlightened like Buddha. And then when they die, their spirit escapes the prison planet. And that's what the whole Matrix is, right? Think about it. They're in this slave computer system. There's these archons, you know, the guys with the suits and the sunglasses. And here is these group of people that are inserting themselves into the Matrix and setting the captives free into the real world. So, I mean, that is all based on the Gnostic viewpoint.
I am realizing how much I don't understand right now. Like, you just blew me away with that one. Like, this, I guess I see the things that I've seen are the, like, and it is, it's the very ones that are very in your face about it, where, I mean, And that is one of your gifts, is being able to break these things down and see that in there, and being able to bring that stuff to light, which kind of blows me away. Cause I mean, the Matrix, I always, you know, the red pill, the blue pill, the very upfront part of it, I get, you know, there is definitely a spiritual symbolism there, but I did not take it anywhere near to that Gnostic end, thinking about it. But you're right. People do use that so much, especially in the space that we're in, to the point where some podcasts and things are named after some of these things. And it's true, because, you know, do you want to know the truth, or do you want to live in, you know, bliss and ignorance, you know, where they say ignorance is bliss. And that actually is in a line in that movie where the guy wants to get plugged back in.
Yeah, the stake.
Okay. He goes, what I've learned after all this time, ignorance is bliss. And that's what a lot of people in this world do. I mean, the majority of people that we know in this world, they don't want to dive into these things. They don't want to look at the fact that there is a supernatural world around us. They much rather live in ignorance.
Yeah, it's like, with you saying that, it's like me before the Army, and when I was in the Army, I just kind of was like, whatever, just floated, went to work, did my thing, you know, hung out with my buddies, just didn't pay no attention to nothing. Mm-hmm. Got out, got a little bit into politics, you know, paying attention to politics. Obviously, I'm not in politics.
I'd vote for you.
Would you?
I would.
Vote for Pedro.
The head Sasquatch.
Listen.
I'm getting hot. I need to cut my hair off. But
who'll be your vice president? Yeah, think about it. If Sasquatch is running, who's your vice president?
Mothman.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is. So... yeah.
He's got a nice bum.
Does he?
Yeah, if you go to
West Virginia. I was thinking more like Carrot Top.
See the statue? People put nickels and dimes in between his butt cheeks.
Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about now.
See, now you know.
Maybe.
The butt cheeks.
Okay. But anyways.
Buns of steel.
Yeah.
Literally.
Okay.
Probably brass.
I then forgot what I was saying now. Oh. But, you know, I just got paying attention to politics. And seeing how corrupt politics is, and now you can't undo it. Once you're in, you're in. Like, I can't go back to that. I'm just floating around, going to job, you know.
I think that's the best point that you can make right there, because if you know, we talk about our new glasses.
Yeah.
You know, we started this based on the unseen realm, on Heiser's work and things, because that we all started all of a sudden seeing things that we'd never seen before when we read our Bible. And when you go through and you all of a sudden read those stories, it seemed kind of like, this just happened. All of a sudden you get meaning from it. You understand things more. You get the context because your eyes are open to that. Now, I think if we can do anything in this space, and Justin does an excellent job at this. It's not my forte. I don't think it's Ben's forte either, but that you have that intellect to be able to look into that. We all have different gifts. I'm not saying
I don't have intellect is what I was going to say. Definitely not my gift.
Well, we all have different gifts and different things that we are meant to do, but Justin's got an excellent intellect into these things and is able to pull these things apart and sees these things in a different way. Oh, listen, I'm just being honest.
I'm blushing.
You have a gift. We all have different gifts, and there's a reason that God brought us together, because we all are very different people. The three of us couldn't be much more polar different. We really couldn't be, but yet we sit here and we do this. But going back, whenever that veil is lifted a little bit and you see things and you understand things, you really can't pull that veil back. And that's what they say with the red pill or the blue pill, right? Once you take this, there's no going back.
You're done.
Yep. You're done. You know this now. And if we can do that for anybody out there to help you understand, first of all, it's the supernatural world we live in, that the Bible is telling you some crazy stories, and now they're being perverted by mainstream media, by the mainstream film industry. These things are perverted to change your mindset on this, so that if you went back and read the Bible and be like, oh, hold on, well, now they're making this a bad guy. I thought he was I liked him in this movie or that. It clouds your judgment. So if we can help remove that veil even just a little bit, Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like the movie with Thor and all that stuff. Thor, he's funny, you know.
A lot of girls love him.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And I hadn't thought about the human woman that you brought up.
Yeah. You know, he was in love with, I forget her name now, but.
Jane,
yeah. And it's just, and the same with Aquaman. It was
his dad was a human.
Yeah, dad was a human, and the mama was from the underworld or Atlantis. But it's just.
I think it's interesting they use him as a fish, though, which we see that a lot in ancient cultures. The Apkallu were shown as half fish.
Dagon.
They're shown as half fish, half man. Dagon being one of the prime gods of the Philistines. And Oannes was the first of the Apkallu. So
wild.
You see that in history, and yet, and it's the things that if you look at this, the amount of people who, how many people wear around a Captain America shirt or a Batman? What I'm just using these superhero shirts, and they're venerating these people that truly are either Nephilim or. Altered, what you would call super soldiers, these things that are altered DNA, all these, we're venerating them. How many of those same people wear a shirt with a cross on it?
True.
You know, but we are venerating these other gods, whether or not people realize they're wearing them on their chest. These are gods.
In the Twilight series, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was a huge thing, and it is painting vampires
as good guys.
You know, of course, they paint, in all fairness, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. You know, they make them, they humanize them, make you empathize with them. But the biblical narrative, if you go back, it talks about, you know, the Anakim and the Amalekites. These were cannibalistic Nephilim tribes that drank the blood, the life force, where the Bible plainly says, do not drink the blood.
Wasn't that, Amalekites, didn't that actually mean that?
Yes, it means blood lickers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where you get your parallel with vampires. But, you know, now Hollywood's painting them like, no, they're just like us. There's some good, there's some bad. And, you know, it ain't their fault they were born this way. They have to have the blood to survive. But, you know, at least, you know, this one group is just finding human hosts that they fall in love with, and they willingly give them blood, and you know.
Well, it's like the what were them movies? They had the main character was the girl. Underworld movies where it's the same way. You have the bad vampires and the good vampires, and what they do is they have humans that work for them, and they harvest like blood banks. People donate blood, so they drink the blood that's been donated. Yeah, so they don't have to hurt people. Mm-hmm. But the bad vampires from the other clan across, like over in Europe, they're Millenite, taking people and drinking them dry and blah blah blah. It's about the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you go back, and this is one of the things I had heard this somewhere about the idea of where the vampire idea came from, was from the descent of Ishtar into the underworld, which I'm sure you've read that because you've read all those. But there's a part in there where it says that she will. Because, and I can't remember how the whole story goes, but the whole point was they said that we're going to send the dead to feed on the living. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what would they say? A vampire, the undead, right? But that they're going to come and feed on the living. And that was from that. It's ancient Sumerian story.
She has to remove her seven wonders, her coverings, and has to give up an article of clothing at each stage. And when she finally makes it to the seventh one, she appears naked. You know, she has to like humble herself.
Terrible game of strip poker.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, this stuff is rife throughout history. Once again, something that's not something they just invented. This is
oh yeah,
mythology. This stuff goes way back.
In the 80s, you remember that, it might have been late 80s, early 90s, had the kid from the Terminator movies. You know what I'm talking about?
I know the Terminator
John movies. John Connor?
Yes, that was his character name, yeah. Oh. But that same actor played in this movie in the late 80s, early 90s, but it was called Brain Scanners. And this was back there in America Online, the dial-up internet days, you know. Computers were this new thing. Well, this kid in the movie loved video games, loved playing on his computer, and this game just shows up in his mailbox, and it's like a burnt disc, and it said Brain Scanners on it, and he just puts it into his computer and starts playing it. And in this game, you are a serial killer, and you go down the street and you pick a random house, you go in, and it's like a role play game. So you have to pick a victim, murder them, and then you have to choose to bury the body alive, where you want to bury it, or cut the body up. What do you want to do with the pieces? What are you going to do to try to cover up, you know, your tracks? You know, it was just an RPG from the perspective of the serial killer. And he played it, and you know, in the game, he goes to this White House and kills a man in his bed and his wife, and it gave him the option to cut up the body in pieces. He's like, yeah, let's do that, you know, because he's just playing a game. Cuts the body up in pieces in the game and bags it up and stores them in a freezer and all this stuff and just plays this game and goes to sleep. And he wakes up the next morning, and his clothes are laying beside the bed, and they're covered in blood. And there's a knife beside the bed and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, my God, you know. And then he goes to the freezer. Sure enough, there's bodies chopped up into pieces and bags in his freezer. And then all of a sudden, his computer chair turns around, and it's like this demon-looking dude. Looks like Marilyn Manson. Deformed face, crazy-looking guy. And he's like, yeah, man, you did a good job chopping up the body parts. Yeah, I never thought of that, you know, and all this stuff. And he's like, what is going on? And then basically, long story short, is it was a demon spirit. And he was in this game. And when he put it in, turned it on, that demon spirit took over his body and was doing all this stuff. And he has to try to find a way to finish the game is the only way to exorcise the demon and get rid of it. And then the disc ends up finding its way into another mailbox of another kid at the end of the thing.
That sounds a lot like that Jumanji movie too.
But it's exorcism and it's demons and talking about this stuff back then. And yeah, that's what's crazy. What's it hinting at?
Oh,
my
yeah.
opinion, artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
A host for the demonic.
I've heard way too many.
There's all kinds of movies. If you start, you know, that sounds like a Jumanji was a runoff of that, because they get the game and then they're in Jumanji and the only way to get out of the game is to beat the game, to beat it, to save whoever. But Jumanji is just a weird game.
So it just
or movie
the
Flatliners. You remember that one?
No, I don't.
That had an all-star lineup. It had the guy from Footloose and all of them, but they were basically pumping drugs and chemicals in their body to put them on the verge of death where they would flatline. And they would have, and they were all doctors and nurses. And some guy had a vision of the other side and accidentally died and came back and become obsessed with it. And he had his buddy and friends do it to him often and then revive him, bring him back to life. But it was a club called the Flatliners, and they'd all do it. And all of them would have visions of the other side, whether it was heaven, hell, seeing people in their past that they had done wrong. And basically there's like a group of six or eight of them that done it all together. But each time after the fact, they found out that something from the other side attached to them. And it was all evil spirits. And they were tormenting them and stuff. But it all goes to the tests in the 60s of the LSD and all these mind-altering substances where they would go into the upside down, basically, like Stranger Things, and map the other realm. So it all goes back to
the show that's kind of like, Stranger Things.
Well, that's been happening right now with the DMT stuff. They've been doing those studies more recently where they're putting people up to, you know, under for an hour, and they're meeting the same, they don't know each other, they're meeting the same entities. And this is real. This is not a movie. This is really happening. They're meeting the same entities, coming back, and they're saying they met this thing, it looked like this, and this was its name. And the next person comes out, says I met this thing, it looked like this, this was its name. They're meeting the same entities when they go under and do these things. And now to the point where they're actually
mapping
it.
It's another world.
It is a whole nother, like,
they're seeing the same buildings, the same people, the same streets. I mean, they're trying to map this place because everybody's coming back and describing the same thing. So it's like the upside down of Stranger Things. They're trying to make a map so you can go there and walk through it.
Why?
Because they can.
Well,
I mean, who thinks that's a good idea?
But first of all, people think, and this is the thing you have to remember, is mind altering substances like DMT and ayahuasca, things of this nature have been used for centuries for spirit trips, for visions, to get a peek of the other side, to have your spirit guide tell you what to do. This stuff has been this is witch doctor stuff, ancient stuff.
It's been used.
This is stuff that people are still, this never left. This has always been going on. There, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Jets, does this in the office, does the ayahuasca thing, goes in these dark rooms and does this stuff and waits to see what. He doesn't go into a great detail about what he's doing.
To get enlightenment.
But people do mind altering drugs for enlightenment. Exactly that, because they feel like they're getting some kind of knowledge, something they can't get somewhere else. It's like being close to God in their eyes, even though it's not the God that you know we serve. They're getting close to one of the gods, the lower Elohim, if you would call it that. This stuff is very real. This is happening all the time. And when you feel like you have to have a mind-altering substance to get in touch with God, you're not talking to the right God.
Not at all.
And that's a very big problem with that whole theme right now.
Those are gods in prison, and you're having to break into the prison to communicate with them. The God we serve can come to you no matter where you're at. You don't need to take no drugs or say a special name a certain way or spell.
Yeah.
But I want to go back a little bit to what you said about the AI thing. The AI thing to me is absolutely terrifying. I mean, obviously you go back to Terminator is where we first see this, right? You see it. Terminator was a great movie.
And it might be, was that the book, the 1984 book or whatever?
Oh,
Orson Welles, whatever it was.
1984. That was.
It's pretty much spelling out everything that's going on right now.
Who wrote that book? Was that not 8 now?
What was that one? War Games? The guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he's a hacker, and he ends up hacking into all the missiles and makes Russia and the United States and everybody, think they're about to shoot each other. And
I mean, it's just...
But thinking about the AI thing, I've heard people say, they sit there and have a conversation with AI and, what are you? And, who created you? And they say, no, I wasn't created. I'm something else, their own sentient being, whether it's a demon or something else. But I'll tell you a funny story about AI and about how we have to be very careful, because a lot of people use AI. Right now we have things like people use it every day for the most part and don't even realize it.
Images and all the fake flood not even news that. Things.
Hey Siri.
Oh yeah.
Oh, guess what? She's right there. And you know what? My father-in-law had something on there the other day. Ben got on there the other day and he said something about I can't remember, something about Kamala Harris, and it came up. And so he's just like, well, why do people like Kamala Harris? And asked it. He goes, well, because she's the first She's the first black woman vice president. And he says to the AI, says, she's not black. And it says, you're right. Even though it just called her that. He had this, he screenshotted this whole conversation he had with the AI.
It's ridiculous.
And it says, you're right. She's actually, I can't remember, Jamaican and Indian or something. Something like that. I can't remember. But no. So he went through and had a whole conversation. And by the time he got done, the AI started hedging towards his beliefs. It started going more his direction.
Telling what he wanted to hear.
Either AI can truly mold to you, or if it's telling you what you want to hear, like you're saying, to soften you so that when you get to a point where you feel like you can trust it, then you can manipulate what you're hearing. But that is terrifying to me, that in two questions he asked, it told him something and then it admitted it lied.
When it was caught.
And it was, yeah, exactly. It was caught. It lied. And then admitted it lied. And this is something I saw with my own eyes. This is super scary. People do this, hey Siri, or hey whatever, Alexa, or hey whatever. And people take this as gospel, whatever these things tell them. And it very plainly...
Google says that it must be true.
Exactly. This is what we've said for years, but people, what are the first thing they do if they want to find out something? Google it.
Let's Google it.
This is, I truly believe when we talk about the... remember the whole Sinbad genie movie, whatever it was called, Shazam or whatever? Shazam. And they say it's the Mandela effect. I truly believe, well, I know that was a movie. I saw it. But they say it's not there. It's all this stuff. So what they're doing is seeing how much of can they erase, how much can they change your mind on something to say, oh, well, I guess I don't believe that. I believe it's one of the biggest psyops.
I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I believe it's one of the biggest psyops going on right now.
Did I just dream that?
Because it's like the cornucopia with the Hanes thing. Have you ever seen that? So the Hanes logo. What does the Hanes logo look like?
Oh, yeah, all that different stuff. Yeah, the Ford with that little curly Q at the bottom.
Or the Monopoly guy.
Yeah.
All these different things that you remember. He had a monocle. Guess what? He doesn't have a monocle now. But I remember him having a monocle.
Yeah, I do too.
But they say he never had one.
But you can go back and certain people will say, and they find in their old Monopoly game that he had one. Or it's even funny because you have the, if you remember Ace Ventura, the second one, he's in Africa and he sees this guy with this monocle and says, oh, you must be the Monopoly guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this, there's so many of these things that are being manipulated around us that I truly think that whole Mandela effect thing is literally one of the big, I shouldn't say big, because I think there's way bigger things happening, but it's just how much of our history can they change? How much, and you think about that, if they're doing it something simple like that, what are they doing that they're not, that's not being thrown out there on the internet? Are they manipulating things about history? Are they manipulating things about, say you have a Bible on your phone? Are they manipulating what's in the Bible? Are they manipulating what we're reading that way? That's why I think it's super important to have it. And listen, I have Logos. I love Logos. Don't get me wrong. But somebody who's got the power to hack could easily jump in and boom, switch things.
Yeah, physical copies are always
physical copies things. Are the best way to go. Always have a hard copy of a Bible. Always. But you look, how many things are going away from physical copies? Almost all books now are either... You can get them on audio. You get them as an ebook. Yeah. You're on your Kindle. You're on your Nook or whatever it is that, you have all these different things. How easy it for somebody to push a button and just change the narrative of that? And only change a few words to change what it means.
You'd be into the Book of Eli situation.
Exactly.
Only a handful of copies of the real Bible going around.
And he has it up here.
Yeah.
That's the only place you can't corrupt it. You know, the book, if you haven't watched that movie, that's a great movie.
I'll leave that alone for people who hasn't seen it and go to watch it.
And that is a good one if you haven't watched it, but he has it memorized, right? He has the Bible memorized. So the only way that you can't have the corrupted word of God, the corrupted truth, is to have that physical copy and to be in it every day so that you know the what the scriptures are pushing, what they're telling you, what is the truth. Anything that's on a computer, anything that's on your cell phone, anything that's on anything electronic can be corrupt. And AI is the first step in that direction. I mean, a huge step in that direction.
It is scary.
They could do that before this, but if AI is what some of these people say is something demonic.
Well, now you got it to where they can make a podcast show that sounds like all three of us talking and say, make up whatever we say.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it on
plenty
the little.
People have faceless YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And they take an AI generated picture and they make it move and make its mouth move. They can put Denzel Washington, yeah. President Trump's whatever.
And then his voice as if he said it when he really didn't say it.
Did you see the ones with Trump and Biden like running, holding hands together and stuff? Oh, that was a hilarious one.
Yeah. See, I've even done it too. I don't know if you guys have seen, but I paid a voiceover actor. He's good and he's cheap. It's like, you know, $30, $40. You could have him do impersonations of people. And I had him do a Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. And I got on this thing and got an AI-generated video of Christopher Walken. I mean, if you look hard enough, you know, you can tell the way the mouth moves and stuff. But just at a glance, especially older people, and there it looks like Christopher Walken is talking about how great the Prometheus lens is. And he's saying all these little catchphrases that he says and stuff. And I mean, it's not hard to do.
And that's the crazy part, is that something you can do relatively inexpensively. So imagine you have the top of the line equipment. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
No.
You could make Ben or you or me say anything you want and say, look, he said this. I mean, that's the easiest way to ruin somebody, is you can just say, look, and just shove something out there saying, look, this guy said this. And
that's
what
the media does every day. I mean, we can take, like us, we've done, you know, almost 3 years now of podcasting. We've probably said every English word you can say or close to. Somebody or an AI just has to go through it. If they want us to say, you know, whatever the case may be.
Something bad.
They can go through all those episodes. Okay, he said the here. He said kill here. He said this here. Chop, 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 splice together, and then boom. You say whatever they want you to say. And the media does this every day. They take so many, and that's why there's so much division between, you know, Republicans and Democrats and liberals and this, that, and the other. Because how many times does CNN or Fox News, whatever, takes a clip and plays something, and it makes someone just look horrible? And then everybody hears that clip, and then, boom, that's all they hear, and their mind's made up. I heard it with my own 2 ears. I know what he said. But then you go back and you listen to the thing in full context. That ain't what he said
at
all.
Not at all.
Context is king. People do that with the Bible all the time. They pull out one set verse.
See, that's what I don't like.
Some people pull out one set verse for their, or even just part of a verse for their agenda, but you don't read the stuff around it. And it's a very scary thing. But this is why, once again, going back, you have to be in your Bible. You have to read your Bible. You have to have a physical copy. I'm not against. I will use Logos. I will use it. I will use it to, you know, as long as I possibly can, until I truly see that they're manipulating or something's changing. I love Logos. I think it's an amazing software. But anything on a computer, anything on your phone, anything on your Nook or your Kindle or on audiobook or on whatever, in the long range of outcomes, can and most likely will be manipulated at some time. The same way Hitler changed the Bible when he was, you know, in his years over Germany, changed what the Bible said. Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Changed the Bible to his narrative.
He was a Christian. He made his own book. Yeah, but read that book.
Yeah, his
Christ
book,
is not in there.
they took every supernatural aspect of Christ away. He said Jesus had good moral fiber. He was a good guy.
Good teacher.
Lived by what he said, but he really didn't do all those things. And this is Thomas Jefferson.
And that his followers made up all this stuff. And that eventually he believed the delusions that the people were saying about him and was gibbeted for sedition.
This is all around us. It's just be aware, be conscientious, pray for that discernment. Ben always pray. I mean, that's one of the things, Ben, if we say part-timer pray, he's praying for discernment.
And a call always out to the listeners. If you enjoyed the little deep dive on the comic books and the movies and things like that, if you know of one.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. Send us an email, thedig423@gmail.com. And just like we did, name the movie, talk about the deception or the hidden stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And, hey, man, if it's cool and we like it, we'll discuss it on the show and give you a shout out.
No doubt about it. We love that. We love participation with anybody. And jump on the Facebook group. Start some conversations on there. I try to get on there and start some conversations and kind of get people to this is a judgment-free zone. I'm just saying. I don't want people. Nobody who's attacking anybody will be.
The Planet Fitness of the podcast world.
There you go. Judgment-free zone. But no, nobody. Anybody who's attacking anybody won't be tolerated, but I want people to have a safe space to come and be able to have questions. I don't want somebody to look at them and say, well, that was a stupid question. No. This is all of us learning together. There's things that Justin knows that I don't. There's things that Ben knows that I don't, and vice versa. I mean, we all have something to offer. Every one of you out there has something to offer, and we want you to contribute to the show, to the Facebook group, because we all can learn from each other. That's important. So hopefully you guys enjoyed today. And, you know, as always,
keep looking for keep digging.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas? We'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig.